Well, over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the kind of church that God wants us to be. And so far, we talked about that the kind of church that God wants us to be is a New Testament church, and a church that learns, and a church that worships. Again, we did that two times. And a church that serves. And today, we want to talk about the kind of church that God wants us to be is a church that reaches out. A church that reaches out. There's a fictional story that you may or may not have heard, but I'm going to share it anyway. And it's it's told of a time, again, this is fictional, it's told of a time shortly before Jesus, shortly after this, Jesus was raised from the dead and he returned to heaven. And again, this is a made-up story. I always feel like I have to just say that or else someone will think, hey, you know, Chuck said, anyway. So this is a made-up story, anyway. Anyway, shortly after Jesus was raised. And in the made-up story, the angel Gabriel was talking with Jesus and congratulating him on having defeated the devil by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, thereby having secured the salvation of mankind, you know. And Gabriel wants to know what the plan is to announce the salvation of mankind to the world. So Gabriel suggests that perhaps they should call out the angel choir and appear in the sky and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus responds, "No, Gabriel, my followers are going to tell the world about me." "Your followers?" Gabriel gasps. "You can't be serious." "Oh, but I am," Jesus replies. "I've told the ones who believe in me to tell everyone they know about me. And they, in turn, will tell the ones that they know. And so on and so on and so on. And they'll get the word out." "But Jesus," Gabriel says, "you can't trust them. Look at how they failed. Remember how scared they were when you were arrested. Peter even denied that he knew you. And this is the most important message ever. The people of earth can experience peace with God because of what you did. Shouldn't we have the angels tell the good news?" You can kind of see Gabriel beaming, you know, hoping that Jesus will give it, right? "No," Jesus says, "my followers will spread the news." "But what if they fail? What's plan B?" "Can the angel choir be plan B?" Gabriel asks. Very slowly and deliberately, Jesus says, "They must not fail. There is no plan B." There's no plan B. Now, those of us who know our Bibles, we know that that story is fictional, right? But the point of the story is exactly what the Bible says, that the proclamation of the message of salvation depends upon us. Upon you and me. And so the kind of church that God wants us to be is a church that reaches out and proclaims the gospel. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, and again, that's right after the four gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then the book of Acts. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that just before Jesus returned to heaven after his resurrection, he told the apostles, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is before his ascension, he says to the apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's exactly what we find throughout the pages of the book of Acts. You see, in the book of Acts, we could read about the history of the early church and how it spread from Jerusalem throughout the then known world. And how did it happen? Well, the apostles preached the gospel and people came to believe in Jesus. And then those people told others about Jesus. And they told others about Jesus, who told others about Jesus, who told others about Jesus, and on, right down to you and me. And we see this happening, for example, with Cornelius, again in the book of Acts. If you're in chapter 1, go over 9 chapters. 1 plus 9 is 10. In Acts chapter 10. So, who is Cornelius? Well, Cornelius was a Gentile convert to the Jewish faith, and he was trying his best to live a life that was pleasing to God. And so God sent an angel to Cornelius and directed him to send for the apostle Peter. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 14, we read that the angel said to Cornelius that Peter will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. And what was that message? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:21, and these won't appear on the screen, but if you have the sermon notes, all these verses will be down for your reference later. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:21 that God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believed. So the message was something that had to be preached. And in Romans 1:16, Paul writes, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So the message was the gospel that was preached, right? And why? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10, 13, and 14 that everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. But question, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? Answer, they can't. Someone has to. So you see, there is no neon flashing sign in the sky. There's no angelic choir heralding the good news. It's not there, okay? And so if the message of Jesus is going to reach the lost in the world, it's going to reach our neighbors or our friends and family, then the Lord's church must be the messenger. And individual Christians must carry the message. There is no plan B. God wants us to be a church that reaches out and shares the good news about Jesus with the world. Now, I know, again, that you know, that we all know this passage of Scripture very well. And that's because the church that meets here at Orangeville is a very missions-minded congregation. But amuse me, and let's turn over to the first book of the New Testament, the very last chapter, to Matthew chapter 28. And let's look once again at the passage of Scripture that is known as the Great Commission. This is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And again, I realize that most of us could probably quote this probably better than John 3:16. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And remember that Jesus spoke these words after he had been raised from the dead. After he had been raised from the dead, telling his followers to tell the world that he had risen. So here's what the Bible says. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now, you may or may not remember, but from September 29th of 2013, a few short months ago, all the way through November 10th, of last year, for seven straight Sundays, we talked about evangelism and how to practically share the gospel, particularly with the We Care method of personal evangelism and the big picture of the Bible. And we did that because, well, over the years, I have found that most Christians want to share the message of Jesus Christ with other people, but they aren't quite sure how. We want a plan, all right? You see, most people are, well, uncomfortable. And they have a little bit of uncertainty and awkwardness in the whole process. And so a lot of well-meaning Christians let opportunities to share the gospel pass them by. And so this morning, rather than review all the tools that we've already shared meant to equip us last fall or even add to that list, I thought we would just talk about three very practical things that will help us to do a better job in casually, there's the operative word, in casually sharing the good news about Jesus with others so that we can be the kind of church that God wants us to be, a church that reaches out. And the first thing that we can do to be a church that reaches out is to simply share what Jesus means to you. Share what Jesus means to you. Over in the Gospel of Luke, and if you were in Matthew last, in Matthew 28, of course, that's a few books over to your left, two books, right? You want to go to the right. Yep. Matthew, Mark, Luke, there we go. And in Luke chapter 8, in verses 26 through 39, we read about a man called Legion and how he was possessed by many demons. And so Jesus cast the demons into a herd of pigs who all run down a hill and into a lake and drown. Some of the villagers weren't that happy about that. Now let me ask you, do you think that Legion kept what happened to him a secret? That's right, he didn't. Of course he wouldn't. Look down at verse 39 of Luke chapter 8. There Jesus said to the man, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." And then we read that he went home and never ever said a word about Jesus just once a week on Sunday. That's not what it says. The Bible says, so the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You know, sometimes we really need to make it a point to remember what Jesus has done for us. That we were lost and doomed to eternal separation from God because of our sin, Isaiah 59:2. And that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, for you and me, Romans 5:8. And so we gladly accepted the message and were baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And we were saved, just like Jesus says in Mark 16:16. And now, we have peace. You have a peace because of Jesus that passes understanding, Philippians 4:7. Now you have a hope because of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:3. Now you have a joy because of Jesus, Romans 5:11. And when we assemble together, we remember what Jesus has done for us as we share the Lord's Supper, as we sing songs to remind us of Ferris, Lord Jesus, or the lover of my soul, or whatever your song is that helps you to remember the Lord, you know? And so get personal with it. Share what Jesus means to you and tell your story. Tell them of how Jesus affected your life. And talk to them about your relationship with Jesus the same way you would talk about any other friend or good thing in your life. You know, there are a lot of people who somehow think that talking about Jesus is some difficult, scary, and unnatural thing. It's just totally unnatural, you know. But that's because we make it difficult, and we make it scary, and we make it unnatural. It's not supposed to be. Because at its most foundational level, sharing about Jesus is as simple as talking about how much Jesus means to us personally. For example, just before Christmas, the 49ers played the last game ever at Candlestick Park. Okay. And they won, by the way. Now, did you see the game on TV? I didn't, okay? I'm not a football fan. But if you were, I'm sure you did. Maybe you thought, wow, I've got to do whatever I can to get down to San Francisco and check this last game out at this field. Maybe you watched it happen live. Unless you're a Raiders fan, in which case you know. Now, if you were that lucky and you saw the game and maybe you were there, you'd be telling all of your friends about the game when you got back, and you'd be bragging on the Niners too, you know? And get this, you wouldn't feel like you had to set up a time. Say, do you mind if we set up a time and we can get together and talk about the 49ers game? You wouldn't do that. You say, hey, the 49ers won the last game at Candlestick Park. They're going to tear it down. No, you're going to get all emotional about the whole thing, you know, because it was exciting for you. Well, the same should be true with Jesus. Just tell people what Jesus has done for you. He has given you joy. He's given you a sense of peace in the midst of all these difficulties around us. He's given you happiness. He's given you security and the promise of eternal life. So tell them about you and Jesus. It should be a natural thing. And when I say that, you know, again, don't try to force Jesus. Don't try to preach a sermon to them right off the bat. You know, and it's like, you know, something like, you know, Frank, you know, the sky sure is pretty today. Why, yes, it is. And my Jesus made that sky. Let's show you the creation. You know, don't do that. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about opportunities that come up to share our faith naturally, in natural conversation, casual natural conversation, you know. Jesus should naturally come up as we talk to people, you see. For example, maybe a friend is talking about how they're going through a rough time. Opportunity bells should be ringing off here, and not necessarily because you think of it as an opportunity, but because it's natural for you. Because it's at that point you should say to yourself, hey, you know, this is how Jesus helped me through this situation. This is how my faith in God helped me in this situation through a similar rough time. You lost your mom, you know, so did I. You lost your dad, you lost, I tell you this, so did I. I tell you what, God was there for me, and this passage of scripture really impacted me. Can I share that with you? Or something like that. That's natural, you see. That's natural, not forced. Yeah, God made the dirt too, yeah. That's, you know, or maybe you can share with your friends something about what you learned as you read the Bible. Because I know we're all daily Bible readers, right? Beginning of the year, what day is it now? The 12th? So anyway, we're going through. You're probably still in Genesis. I don't know. All right, anyway, but you went through and say, wow, you know, maybe you discovered a principle in there that was really important. Maybe a principle about marriage. You just got through with Adam and Eve, you know. Hey, you know, there is only one man and one woman, God says. I don't know. You could say something. You know, Jack, I was reading the Bible the other day, and, you know, and did you know that God said, now, at that point, your friend Jack, or whatever his name is probably going to do one of two things if you bring up the Bible in discussion. You'll just say, wow, you read the Bible? That's cool. Or he'll say, wow, you read the Bible? But then you can take that opportunity to tell them why you do. Okay? The point is that we begin, if we haven't already, talking about Jesus with our friends and family in a natural way, and let them know that Jesus means something to you personally, okay? And why he means that something to you. Remember, Jesus has given us peace and joy and hope of heaven, the hope of heaven. So again, a church that reaches out shares what Jesus means to you. And a church that reaches out uses our assemblies and classes as aids for evangelism. As aids for evangelism. Again, in the book of Acts, there are many times when the disciples were assembled and the apostles preached. You know, one such occasion is in Acts chapter 20. And in verses 7 through 12, we see an assembly of the Lord's church at Troas where many people had gathered to hear Paul preach. Now, I can gather by all the people that were there and everything that this wasn't something in secret. You know, you can imagine the disciples, they're inviting everybody to come hear the Apostle Paul preach, you know. Hey, Paul's coming through. You got to come check this out, you know. He's got the word of, he's going to talk about Jesus, all right. And so Paul preached on and on and on and on and on until one person, Eutychus, fell asleep and fell out of a window to his death. Okay, there's your warning for talking too long from the pulpit, right? Fortunately, the Apostle Paul not only put Eutychus to sleep, but he raised him to life by the power of God. By the way, I can't do that, so stay awake. Just imagine the talk that spread throughout the town. Wow, I bet they didn't have any problems filling up the places where they met. The people were excited to invite people to their assemblies. Like, you gotta see what we're talking about. This is amazing. Jesus raised from the dead. No special effects, you know? And that's something that most of us are really good at, isn't it? Inviting people to our assemblies or to our Bible classes. You know, we invite people to our assemblies on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. We meet. Yeah, we actually do. If you're not sure, you know, we do. Check the bulletin. We meet. People invite folks to our Bible studies, and we have classes Sunday morning here in the auditorium. There's a ladies' class starting up, going through a book called The Fan in the Fellowship Hall. We got a class over in the Scent Free library room now. So, you know, we have classes with kids in the back. And so there are all these opportunities where we can invite folks to when we assemble and to our classes. And of course, we meet throughout the week too. There are folks that meet at homes. Ask them, hey, you got a study going on? Do you know where there's a study near where I live? And you can find one. Invite folks to that. We meet Tuesday night at 6 o'clock here in the library. We meet Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here. And we're meeting in the fellowship hall right now, actually, after dinner at 6. And then we meet again Thursday morning at 10:30. And then, well, hey, kids ages 4 through 12, got something for them. The first Friday night of the month is Kids Night Out, also known as Parents Night Out, okay? And moms can be encouraged Tuesdays, starting at 9:45, again, starting up this Tuesday with Moms or Us. Meet every Tuesday morning while school's in session to help encourage moms. Then there's all the times when we eat together. Wow, I can't even list all those. There's so many. But the main ones, of course, are Wednesday night at 6. And potluck the fourth Sunday of every month, okay? So invite folks to these things. Now, but again, that's not converting them. Those are aids to evangelism, okay? Aids to evangelism. But the point is to use the assemblies and the classes that we have as a resource to help you as you share Jesus with your friends and family. Again, talk about it naturally. So you should have talked about what we talked about in Bible class this morning. We were talking about abortion again and how God values life. Wow, you were talking about abortion. Yeah, well, we actually talk about that stuff. Or you were talking about this. We were talking about something, you know, whatever it is, okay? But, you know, talk about it. Talk it up. Be excited about it. Invite them to come. Assemble with us. Invite them to experience it for themselves. From time to time, I will try to put together a sermon that's directly geared to helping people come to faith in Christ. And I'll try to let you know when I've got that planned. I try to really work it around potluck days if I can. You know, but when I do that in particular, I'll try to let you know in advance so that, hey, that Sunday can be a special time to invite people to come with you. And when you invite your friends and family, again, offer to pick them up. That's one way to make sure that they don't sleep in. Call them. I'll call you. Don't worry about it, you know. I'll come get you. No problem, okay? All right, or tell them that you'll get to the church building early. And you'll wait for them at the door because no one likes to come into a strange place by themselves. In other words, do everything you can to give them an opportunity to say yes, There's a story, and I'm led to believe this is true. I couldn't really track down the source, but there's a story of this preacher who's walking into a restaurant at lunchtime. And as he walked in, he saw one of his church members, a woman, sitting at a table, talking quite excitedly with a man that the preacher didn't recognize. And the preacher walked by the table, and he was on, you know, going to his table. And as he passed by, he just said hello to the woman, you know. And she immediately got all excited and said, "Mr. Smith," talking to the guy that she was with, "this is the preacher I've been talking to you about." So she introduced the preacher to Mr. Smith, who happened to be her boss. And she said, "I've been telling Mr. Smith that he has to come to our church this Sunday." Well, Mr. Smith looks up at the preacher and sheepishly says, "I told her I'm not sure I should come because I'm not sure I fit in." And before the preacher could say anything, the lady interrupts and says, "Well, that's okay. You just need to try it. You'd fit in fine. You just need to come to our church." The boss said, "Well, I don't know. I like to golf on Sundays." The lady said, "Well, that's okay. Just one time. Just try it one time. You just need to come to our church." The man was getting more and more, you know, agitated. So he said, "Look, I don't think I want to." And the lady said, "Well, that's okay. It's okay if you don't want to. You'll be amazed at how good going to church is, though. You'll want to come again next week after you come the first week." Now this guy, of course, is getting rather mad. So the man says, "Look, I don't want to come to your church. I'm an atheist." And the lady, without missing a beat, said, "That's okay. Even atheists need Jesus. You just need to come to our church. You can find out that Jesus is real and that he loves you." Now, I don't know if that story is real or not, but you know what? That illustrates the type of excitement that some people have for sharing the gospel and inviting people to assemble with other Christians. And that's the type of excitement that we need to have. But even if we're not as tenacious as that lady, even if we don't have the courage that she did, all of us can at least invite people that we know to come to church with us. That's the language, you know. We want to say assemble with the saints. Or people say come to church. Okay? We know we're the church. But the church that meets here. But you know, invite them to come to church, okay? Again, a church that reaches out shares what Jesus means to you. And a church that reaches out uses our assemblies and our classes as aids for evangelism. And a church that reaches out focuses on the good news. Focuses on the good news, on the gospel. Now again, if we were to go back to the book of Acts, and if we were to do a little survey of the book of Acts, the very first recorded sermon in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 40, and then if we were to look at the times where personal Bible study happened too, like with Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, and then go right on through the rest of the book of Acts, if we were to look at all these interactions, we would notice something important, that the focus of every message is the gospel. Over in 1 Corinthians, and that's, again, two books to the right of the book of Acts. You'd go Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. And almost to the end of the book in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul reminds the church at Corinth of what is supposed to be their focus. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul writes this. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and is, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I have passed on to you. I'm sorry, I have preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain." Verse 3. For what I received I passed on to you as of first, the Greek word is there, protos, of primary or of chief importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. You see, once you have begun talking with your friends about Jesus, and they come to the conclusion that you're a Christian, if they don't know already, and that you go to church on Sundays, and you don't skip it for anything, right? And that you claim to have peace and joy because of Jesus, then they're going to want to know something. They're going to want to know, is this really real, okay? Because if it is, then maybe I should believe in this Jesus too. So the gospel of Jesus Christ must be the focus. Now, I can't tell you how you'll know when your friends have reached a point of really wanting to know if Jesus is the real deal or not. It's sort of like being in love, you know. No one can tell you how. You'll know when you're in love. You just do, okay? But it seems to me that you will sense when your friends have reached the point at which they're open to the good news. You know your friend. I don't know your friend, okay? All right, no one else knows your friend. You know your friend. And so be in prayer for God's guidance to help you to know. But when they reach this point, it is important that you tell them more than just about Jesus and you. You need to tell them about Jesus the Christ and the fact that Jesus offers them forgiveness and eternal life. Now, I believe that it's still important to be natural when we talk about the gospel to our friends. Most people don't want to be force-fed Jesus, and most people aren't going to have a working knowledge of the scriptures. The average person, okay? So quoting a lot of scripture references is going to be, are those map coordinates? What do those numbers mean? I don't know. So, you know, it's not going to be good at all, except maybe to confuse them. You know, it's like, hey, look out, he's got an axe and 238s, duck! You know, so if you sense that your friend doesn't want to hear the gospel right now, then don't be overbearing and simply change the subject and remember to talk about it later, you know? But if he or she does nibble at the hook, then I'd like to share with you five things that you could do to share the good news of Jesus in a casual, conversational way. For the sake of practicality, we won't quote any scripture, okay? Any references, that is. We'll quote scripture indirectly because it's a part of our language, but we won't give any scripture references. That's not to say we don't want to have a Bible study with someone, like in the We Care approach or in the Big Picture approach or whatever favorite study that you like to use. Only you know your friend and you know at what point they're at. And so what I'm sharing today is very basic, okay? And it does not include scripture citation because it's meant to be simply something that we do in casual conversation. All right? Got that disclaimer out? Okay. Of course. Again, it all depends upon the individual that you're talking with, because only you know your friend and how deep you're able to go. So, casually. First, tell him who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. That was easy. Okay. Then, tell them what Jesus did. Tell them what Jesus did, that Jesus taught people about God, that he told people that God loves them, even bad people. Yeah, Jesus loves even bad people. And tell them that God loves everybody, even those guys at the Westboro Baptist Church preach against. Anyway, okay. And that God wants everybody to get right with him. Tell them that Jesus did lots of good things, that he healed sick people, and that he fed hungry people. And tell them that Jesus lived his whole life without ever doing anything wrong, and that Jesus was good. And then in the ultimate act of goodness, Jesus allowed a bunch of wicked people to nail him to a cross. Then tell your friend why Jesus did this. Tell him that Jesus died because he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. You see, we do all sorts of bad things to keep us separated from God, and God can't overlook those things. God can't get around them. A lot of people think that God can do anything. Well, he can't. Think about that. God can't overlook our bad things, which the Bible calls sin. God must punish them. He has to, because God is totally good, and nothing bad can be with him. So because God loves us and doesn't want to punish us, Jesus took the punishment for us, for our sins. Jesus died, and in his death, Jesus offered us God's pardon and forgiveness for all the bad things that we've ever done. Then, fourth, tell your friends what God did next. Tell them that he raised Jesus from the dead, and he offered his pardon to all so that we can be forgiven and live with God forever. And then finally, tell them how to receive this forgiveness and eternal life with God. Tell them to first trust Jesus. This is what the Bible means when it talks about faith. It means trusting Jesus to save us, to make us right with God. Then tell them that they're to repent, and that means to turn away from their sins, from the wrong things they're doing. And that doesn't mean that they'll never do anything wrong ever, ever again in their life, but it does mean that they're going to try to live right. Then tell them that they need to be immersed, to be baptized in water. And when we do these things, we are accepting Jesus in faith. And the Bible says that when we do that, God forgives us our sins, and he places a part of himself, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit, inside of us as a promise rewarding us of heaven. Sounds too simple, maybe. Sounds too simple to, you know, possibly be true. But the Bible says it, in my paraphrase way. Now, I know that, again, we didn't cite Scripture. But this type of conversation is meant to be something that's more natural with somebody that you're talking with in a regular conversation, not necessarily in a study. There's a difference. Does everyone see that, I hope? Okay. In a study, we want to have our Bibles out, and we want to have them open and looking at passages like we talked about back in September through November. But no matter the textual depth, whether it's a casual conversation with a friend, maybe a study that you're working on, or maybe an in-depth study, the gospel is what we need to focus on with people as we spend time sharing what Jesus means to us. We need to focus on the good news, because that's what really matters. It is the gospel that saves. The gospel that saves. Again, this morning we talked about three very practical things that will help us to do a better job in sharing the good news about Jesus with others so that we can be the kind of church that God wants us to be, a church that reaches out. And we said again, number one, to share what Jesus means to you personally. And if you really can't come up with that, work on it, okay? Number two, use our services and classes as aids for evangelism. You know your friend, you know what we got going on, you're not sure, ask, match him up, okay? Number three, focus on the good news, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know when the time is right, you know your friend the best, you know what level to go, okay? Now, we could close with the invitation and simply leave it at that. But since I really wanted today's lesson to be simple and practical, for those of us who grabbed a copy of the sermon notes, you'll notice that on the very bottom, you'll see a line. It's not a part of the regular outline, and it simply reads, I will pray about blank salvation and how I can best share the gospel with him slash her. And you fill in a name in that blank. So I will pray about the gas station attendant across the street and how I can best share the gospel with him. You follow me? Or put in a name that you know there, a friend, a family member. Put a name in there. I challenge you to do that. Now, for those who don't pick up sermon notes, you don't get out of the challenge, okay? Write it down on somewhere else or put it in your head, okay? The challenge remains the same. Pray about someone and how you could best share the gospel with them. Do that, please. Remember, someone shared the gospel with you, and it's up to us to share it with others. There's no plan B. Again, the kind of church that God wants us to be is a church that reaches out. And so whether it's to put Christ on baptism this morning or for some other need that maybe we could help out with, if you need to, please come forward now as together we all stand and sing the song that was selected.